They've got a new album out. Midway State. Paris or India? If you had to choose, what would you pick? How about we kind of send your imaginations there, DH Radio listeners?
I'm going to choose India because I've been to Paris, but I've not been to India.
Nice! Mike Wise, there he is, guitarist with the Midway State. Now, I've been reading about the production behind this album. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I find when you imagine a band kind of going off into some kind of, well, sort of like a level of seclusion and isolation, I sort of imagine more a band that you know, practically builds their own instruments and it's kind of like, and then we made a banjo out of a bucket and some wire, you know? And
squirrel skin?
Yeah.
In the woods?
That's for the headband for the Great Initiation. Right, of course. But to put out something that's so slick and that has this sound of your new album, Paris or India, it's that's not what I expected to hear.
Okay.
So now you had, there was like basically a year of working on this, right?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, you know, it started off probably a couple months of writing, which means some alone time, some together time. Some of the songs came out of us playing together, just jamming in our rehearsal space, and some of it came from Nathan sitting alone at his piano or me sitting alone with my guitar and exchanging ideas. But yeah, probably a couple months of writing and then a couple months of sort of pre-production in the studio with this producer named Thomas Togs Salter.
Yeah, tell me about working with Togs.
This is the first time we've worked with him. He's a really talented guy. We started writing with him and it was going well and we had a good dynamic, so we decided to make the whole record with him, have him produce it with us. Yeah, he's just a talented guy who's made all kinds of music, you know, pop music, rock music, electronic music, what have you. And, yeah, he's just a guy with good instincts and good taste, and sort of we really saw eye to eye with him in terms of what we wanted to accomplish. And it was just a good process with him. He's a really cool guy, and I encourage everyone else to work with him. But he has this great little studio where he lives in Fort Erie, which is this tiny little town 2 hours out of Toronto. And his sort of shack in his backyard, like a barn that he's converted into a recording studio. So it's just a really neat place to do a lot of the record there. It's pretty isolated. There's no cell phone reception. The internet is slow at best. So it was a good kind of place to get out of the city.
It's different than being like, okay, guys, we're going to shut off our phones. No, it's like, you know what? We don't have a choice.
Yeah. No, for sure. It was a good way to cut people off a little bit. You know, and a lot of people are saying, we heard you guys cut yourself off for the record. And part of that was being out of the city. But part of it was also just our mindset. And we were in between labels at the time. We didn't have an A&R guy. We were with a new producer who had no history with us. So it was really, you know, we were cut off, again, geographically, but also we were cut off in the sense that we were not listening to any label person like we were on the first record. We didn't have a marketing guy telling us what we need to do differently. We were really cut off from other people and just doing what we wanted to do and, you know, what our instincts were telling us. So between those two factors, we really, did just what we wanted. It was really selfish and great.
Well, I think that... then you're going to get the real deal, I would expect, and that's a beautiful thing to be able to, as an artist, to be able to just let yourselves go, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it seems so obvious, and I think a lot of artists just do that, but a lot of artists don't, and you know, it depends where you come from. And we, on our first record, came from a major label in the States that wanted major label radio songs and marketability. And that is what it is, but, you know, it's pretty different this time around, so it was really refreshing to do it this way.
Is there something kind of scary about that, too? Because I was just thinking, you know, like, there's a certain bullying aspect of being, and I mean, they know it, you know, so there must be a part of it that's a little bit scary as far as going, like, okay, we really don't want to feel bullied, but yeah. It's scary to to be able to
be on your own.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And we were definitely conscious of that as we were doing it, but, you know, we weren't that afraid of it, I guess, just because we sort of trust ourselves more than we trust any label rep or A&R guy, you know? Like, it's, we used to really be naive and suckers to those kinds of people, you know? And if they're telling you, that doesn't work, you need to do this, and we all feel differently, it's such a strange place to be in where you, like, trust their instinct over your instinct, you know? And it's easy to do that when you're young and you don't have that much experience, and sometimes you are wrong and other people are right, but this time around we had a lot more experience under our belt and tried to trust our instincts over anyone else's. And I guess it's a little scary in that you could spend 6 months isolated making a record and finish it and nobody cares. But, you know, and I think when we finished it, we weren't on a label yet, and we were kind of, okay, what's going to happen now? I hope somebody bites. And there's definitely some uncertainty and worry, but it wasn't long before, you know, we started playing the record for people in the business and they were blown away and loving it. So that was a big sigh of relief.
Well, I mean, part of it too is that probably the sort of the way things took shape for you guys was to your advantage in as far as your timeline goes, because you had an opportunity to, oh, say, win a few MMVAs and, you know, gain a little bit of recognition, ground, and experience, and then be able to take the reins a little more, you know, with a little more self-awareness and self-assuredness too, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool stuff. Hey, one of the things that baffles me on a weekly basis producing this show is I find that one of the big things in music today, and particularly I find on the Canadian music scene, is I'm wondering what's going to happen to the nature of genres of music. Like,
yeah.
There's this whole idea of being able to compartmentalize or categorize or put everybody on the shelves or in iTunes or wherever you get your music in a certain way. Where would you say that you guys fit? Where would you say that we're like, what are your thoughts on the whole idea of genre in music?
You know, some bands do get pigeonholed and sometimes it's a shame and sometimes it's not. I think when we're asked what we are, we tend to say rock, because I guess that's the closest thing we fit into. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Like, a term like rock can be really great if you're a rock band, you know, and it's just an easy way for people to get you. And at the same time, if you're doing different styles of music together, you sort of feel in between genres, and it can be misleading.
So. And you're the guitarist, so
yeah.
I'm thinking that... Just for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Mike Wise from the Midway State talking about their brand new album,
yeah.
Paris or India. Now, there's kind of like a growing up thing, too, involved in that title, right? Like the, tell me about the choice of Paris or India as the title for this album.
The title, yeah. Paris or India is also the title track of the record.
Yeah.
There's a song on the record called Paris or India. And, yeah, I think what it sort of meant to us at the time was, and I guess still does, there's a line in the song that says, where do I end up now, Paris or India? And Nathan wrote the lyrics to this song, and I think it was one of those songs where he sort of sat down to write the lyrics, and it really just came out without thinking within 15 minutes or something like that. But I think it's at that place in your life that we've all certainly felt like you're in, and I'm sure everyone does. You know, the first 20 years of your life, you're kind of on the train that you're supposed to be on. You're supposed to go to school, you're supposed to finish, you know, go to university, do all these things you're supposed to do. And then you get to the point where all those things are finished, and now you kind of have to start making real decisions for yourself. Okay,
mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to end up? And that's what that line kind of meant. So, you know, being kind of growing up and getting to that, the end of the road where there's a crossroads and you have to start making some real decisions. So, you know, kind of growing up and taking ownership of your life and pointing yourself in the direction that you're going to end up maybe for the rest of your life.
And, well, that certainly seems to be the approach that you guys have taken to putting together this album, too. So that's, to deciding to take that road together.
Yeah, we certainly got to a place where we, like I said, how we kind of made this record just doing whatever we wanted and trying to be more honest with ourselves artistically. We got to a point where we used to not really be like that. We used to listen to label guys and marketing guys and think about the radio and tailor our music a little more. And that's way less enjoyable. You know, it's so much more fun when you're just doing what you want and not thinking about any of that stuff. You're going to make better music, and it's going to be more fulfilling. And it can be scary when you start doing that for the first time, but you know, I think the best bands in the world, the best artists in the world, that's what they're doing, and that's what makes them special. So we kind of got to a point where we said, all right, if we're going to do this for the rest of our lives and enjoy it and make it great, we need to do that and let go of any of these fears and just do what we want to do and make the music that seems right to us.
Well, I certainly think that the fans are going to love and appreciate that, and that ultimately it'll make all of you guys that much happier to be up there.
Yeah, for sure.
Performing this. Speaking of which, Oceaga, this Saturday, which is the 30th of July, Scène de la Rivière, the Blackberry, this is presented by Blackberry. You're going to be on stage from 1:30 to 2, so people head to Oceaga to see the Midway State.
Yeah, head to Oceaga, and if anyone's in Montreal on Monday, we're going to be performing on Music Plus.
Yeah, wonderful. I believe you're there around 7:30 at Music Plus as well, right?
That sounds about right.
Amazing. Hey, Mike Wise, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Nice chatting with you.